everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is actually not going to fit in any of these categories, but rather it is a feathery friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful emu. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Ananya. I hope I am saying your name right. Thank you, Ananya, for writing into the show. This episode would not have been possible without your suggestion, and I can only hope that you enjoy your very own episode. For those of you that want to learn about a particular animal that you find super cool or super interesting, you can always reach out to the show in one of four ways. The most popular option of requesting an animal seems to be the Instagram, which is the handle at RelaxWithAnimalFacts. You can send me a message with an animal request and something you like about the show or any funny stories that you have. You can also submit the same thing by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and submitting an animal request through the little tab at the top. And you can always reach out to the show directly through the email relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. The last option is always a carrier pigeon option. I am still awaiting many of your currently flying pigeons from what I have been told. I will make sure to send them back pronto as soon as they arrive. The reason we had a break in between the last episode and this one was because it was the end of season 4. The last episode was the 100th episode of the podcast. And here we are starting episode 101 with the emu. And starting off this season, I want to request all of you to send me any suggestions that you may have on what you think would make the show better. If you have any particular criticisms or anything of that sort, feel free to reach out in the methods that we just covered. Before we hop right into this episode, I just want to say where I got my facts from. The facts that I used for this episode came from nationalgeographic.com, facts.net, and as always, for the name, I went to etymonline.com. All of the resources used in this episode will be linked in the show notes or the description of wherever you are listening. And if you want to learn more and go to those resources, you are absolutely encouraged to do so. I am so grateful for all of the brainiacs and researchers that put out all of this information to make each episode possible. And now I would like for all of you to notice perhaps where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the neck? Is it in the shoulders? Perhaps in the head? In my case, as always, it seems to be in the hands. I encourage all of you to try to relax those parts of your body as we go into this immersive experience with me, Steph Wolf, into the savannas where the emu resides. Now, when we are trekking through the savanna and for the first time, or perhaps not for the first time, laying our eyes on the emu, it may look oddly similar to another fan favorite, which is the ostrich. So right off of the bat, I would like to first talk about what are the differences between emus and ostriches. The differences between these two creatures will range from things such as size, habitat, wingspan, feet, diet, even speed. So let us just walk through some of these differences. The first and probably one of the more important differences is that the main habitat of the emu is in Australia, while the main habitat of the ostrich is Africa. So although ostriches and emus run very quickly, I do not believe they run quickly enough to skip across the ocean to visit one another. The next most important distinction is the sheer size difference between them. The emu, when standing up nice and straight, is going to be about 7 feet tall and weigh in at an incredibly impressive 150 pounds. The ostrich, on the other hand, is going to be up to 9 feet tall and weighing over double at 320 pounds. We can think maybe of the emu as a little brother of the ostrich. The lifespan of the emu is going to be about 10 to 20 years, while the ostrich is going to be 30 to 50. There are significant differences in their wings. The emu sporting a humble, small, discreet pair of wings, while the ostrich has large wings that have a maximum wingspan of over 6 feet. Now, if we were to spot the footprints of the emu and ostrich, we would be able to tell the difference very quickly after we were to brush aside some of the savanna dust. We could see that the emu has 3 toes while the ostrich has 2. So there is something that the emu has more of. We will get into how fast the emu runs in just a moment, but the ostrich runs just a bit faster. And last of all, the color difference between these two, that ostrich is going to have that dark brown or maybe even black body with some of their characteristic white patches, and will usually have pink or white on their legs, their face, and their neck. The emu, in contrast, is going to be just mostly dark brown to black. With those differences in mind, I think we are more ready to pull out the binoculars and get a closer look on what makes the emu unique and special. The common name is just that. It is the common emu, and it has a scientific name that is prone to giving me a headache, and so I will do my best to pronounce it for all of your entertainment. It is the Dromaeus Novae Hollandiae. There are some root words there that can actually tell us a good bunch of why the emu has this name, but we will wait until the end to see all of the ins and outs of some of those interesting words. The emu is, of course, a bird and is omnivorous, meaning it is not exclusively plant-based, but will enjoy some other things such as insects, which of course is not uncommon among many bird species that may come into our head. And this type of bird is classified as a flightless bird. This distinction is of course used for birds that are unable to take to the skies. Ostrich is another example of a flightless bird, as is the mighty penguin. But while the emu may not be able to soar gracefully through the skies, it sure can run. It has long, powerful legs that will allow it to run up to 30 miles, that's about 50 kilometers per hour. This compact supercar of a flightless bird can truly run very quickly and probably kick up a lot of dust, similar to the cartooned Roadrunner. Each emu foot is going to have 3 forward-facing toes that will give it an uncanny ability to grip the ground as it is going. This is a kind of organic or natural tread we may think of when we drive our cars at 60 to 80 kilometers an hour or 50 miles an hour. Perhaps we are driving around in a safari car. You can imagine how difficult it would be to maneuver, turn, and to stop if the tires were completely smooth. So to ensure that the emu is able to change directions, stop, and keep its traction with the ground, their forward-facing toes will do the job magnificently. Not only serving as a bit of traction or tread with the dusty floor, but these 3 toes will thrust this powerhouse of a bird forward to run its incredible speeds. Suffice to say that when the emu feels threatened and decides to pull out some of its bird taekwondo, a kick from the emu is sure to leave not only a bruise, but for some smaller creatures that might be getting a little feisty, it could mean some serious trouble. Emus are members of what are known as the Rheitite family. This is going to include the ostrich, cassowaries, and rheas. They are among, of course, the largest birds in the entire world, being found primarily in Australia, where we have many listeners, but also in New Guinea, Indonesia, Solomon Islands, and the Philippines as well. Their kind of plain coloration of a grayish to brownish body is going to serve its purpose. We have to remember that the emu is living in hot, dry, arid habitats, and when it is running at 50 kilometers or 30 miles an hour, it better have some good protection from heat exhaustion and from the sun. And that is exactly what their feathers do. They provide almost complete protection from solar radiation. Their anatomical or physiological sunscreen is going to do them quite well. As far as I know, there probably is not sunscreen that has a high enough SPF level to match that of the emu's protection from the sun. But along with this feathery armor that they are clad with, they will also be preferring areas to live in that have access to standing water. While many do live in savannas, they will also live in forests and grasslands. This means that they're going to range over large areas, foraging on fruits, seeds, plant shoots, small animals, animal droppings, and insects. They will mate and nest over the Australian winter, which I'm sure is great in comparison to the Canadian one, but this whole mating and nesting process is not always a loving affair. Females have been known to fight quite viciously with one another over unpaired males. this conflict can leave one or the other with some serious damage and even affect their ability to survive. As we have learned before, kicks from emus are not something that has a wait list. Now, synonymous with many other bird species, they will mate in pairs and stay together for up to 5 months, after which the females will lay these large emerald green eggs in expansive ground nests. The males will incubate the eggs for about 7 weeks or so without drinking, feeding, leaving the nest, and even defecating. The females, meanwhile, have often moved on, sometimes mating with a different male in the same season. The chicks will stay with their dad for about 4 months until they are able to eat on their own. The predators of the emu include dingoes, wedge-tailed eagles, and even snakes, as well as other nest raiders. They are, of course, most vulnerable as they are little baby birds in their eggs, as they are entirely reliant on the protection of their parents. The emu also has interesting sleep habits. They will settle down around sunset, but will not actually stay asleep during the nighttime. They will instead wake up periodically, snack on their surroundings, or go to the bathroom before going back to sleep. Suffice to say that for many, this may be eerily familiar. Scientists observing the birds' nighttime behavior note that they usually wake up every 90 minutes or so and stay awake for 20 minutes before going back to sleep. When sleeping, the emus will fold their necks onto themselves while crouching down against the ground. They will also arrange their feathers so that when it is raining out there in the Australian bush, they will redirect the water to flow onto the ground. Scientists have also noted this as a form of natural camouflage, as from afar the emu may look like a large rock or a mound of some sort to any predator looking in their direction. Now let us go to the name emu. Where does it come from, or what does it mean? I am going to be reading two different things, one of which is a story regarding the possibility of the emu's genesis, at least of their name. The most common theory states that the name emu was derived from an unknown Arabic word that Portuguese explorers first used for cassowaries in the region of New Guinea. Given the similarities between the two birds, emu was also used for Australian birds. Another theory is that emu came from the word ema, which is spelled E-M-A, a Portuguese word generally used for big birds, such as ostriches and even cranes. However, Australian Aborigines have their own names for the bird with no connection to the emu. All of these names are ones in which I would rather not pronounce because I am sure to butcher them. Etym Online describes the etymology of the word emu as deriving back to the 1610s and uses that origin of the Portuguese word ema for crane, ostrich, or other big birds. And Etym Online also describes that it is perhaps based on a folk etymology of a native name. So as we can see, the reason we call things like we do is not always so easily explained or traced. Now, while we are here out in the arid savanna. I am going to read a review coming all the way from the United States of America, pretty far west from where we are, or maybe even east if you think about it that way. But the person who wrote this has the username Maggie1019, and Maggie writes, "The only thing I hate about this podcast is I didn't find it sooner. I love listening every night before bed. Your voice is so, with a lot of O's, soothing. I love how I can hear you smile. I can tell you truly love doing this, and I love listening. Please keep the eps coming." Thank you, Maggie1019, for your very kind review. I am so happy that you did find the podcast, regardless of how long you were away from our safari. You are now on board, and all of us are very glad to have you with us. If you wish to leave a review because you like the show, maybe it has helped you, leaving a review is one of the biggest ways that you can give back to the show, but your listenership means the world. We are going to be continuing this episode on the Patreon Relax with Animal Facts. All of that information will be in the description, so I hope to see many of you there. Please send in your animal requests to either Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram. You can submit directly through the relaxwithanimalfacts.com website or through the email relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. I am so grateful that all of you could join me to learn more about this very unique flightless bird, and I hope that you will all join me on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.